Well, folks, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune, because it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. This is actually episode 533, if you can believe it. This is the chats edition. We also have a forums edition, just talking strategy every week. And for both, I'm the guy that has the best freaking job in the world. I'm Jim Reed, Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter. And I get to hang out here on Monday nights talking poker with my friends here on the show at 7:30 Eastern live on YouTube. Join us every week for free, because here at Rec Poker, we play for fun, but it's more fun when you win. So we study together, we play together, we celebrate together. It all starts with a free membership at rec.poker, where all it takes to join is an email address and a smile, although both are mandatory. All right, we're going to be talking to our guest, Jeff Platt, in no time. But first, I have to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino, because like I said, most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, so we depend on support from our sponsors and also from our premium members who take part in our training material and study opportunities for only $15 a month. Premium members like Eric Ebsen and Terry Coleman, a couple new members that just joined this week. Eric, I know, is already looking forward to our Run Good road trip down to Council Bluffs on November 14th through 19th. And I haven't gotten to know Terry Coleman yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So Eric and Terry, thank you so much for your support. And remember, everyone else, you can get your first month for only $5 by using the code RECPOKER at checkout. Now, they let me host the show on Mondays, but I am only one man. It takes a group, a gang, a crew to make all the magic happen around here. We call this group of wizards the Wrecking Crew. And if you want to learn more about me or the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can go to rec.poker/crew. But you can also just listen up, because you're going to meet a few of them right here on the show tonight, starting with producing co-host Chris Jones and then a bunch of other ones alphabetically by first name.
Well, I'm Chris Jones. You can find me 5b5 on Twitter or 5x5 in the Poker Stars home game.
And I'm Joe Coolis. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Cool PhD, cool with a K, or as Elvita11 within the home game.
And I'm John Somsky, also known as PokerGeekMN everywhere.
And I'm Keith Brandt, and that's Monkey System pretty much everywhere.
Who's next after Keith? I think that might be our brand new Wrecking Crew member, Mark. I'm so excited for this.
Hey, so I'm Mark, and you can find me on the Mr. Bullet on the Wrecking Crew page.
That's right. I'm so excited for you welcoming Mark Zhang to the Wrecking Crew, Mr. Bullet at Rec Poker. And we'll be talking to Mark after the interview with Jeff to find out a little more about him and his poker story. But let's continue. Rob.
I'm Rob Washam, and you can find me as Rabman50 just about everywhere.
And I'm Sasha Sutton. You can find me at Poker for Girls on Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you, Wrecking Crew members, premium members, and the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. And Jeff freaking Platt. This is amazing. We actually got Jeff to come and stand up for us here on the Rec Poker Podcast. Thanks, man. This is a treat.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I really enjoy what you all do for the community, and I'm excited to chat with you guys today.
Well, Jeff, in case our audience doesn't know, you're a prominent poker broadcaster. You've been featured on Poker Go, CBS Sports Network, ESPN. You're a sideline reporter for the WSOP main event. You do play-by-play for Poker Go Tour. You're the co-host of Poker Go's No Gamble, No Future alongside Brett Hanks. You're an involved guy in the poker world, but don't let me put you in a box. If our audience hadn't met you and didn't know anything about you, How would you describe your own role within the poker world right now?
Well, I mean, don't tell my bosses this, but really they just pay me to talk about poker, and that can come across in many different forms. You said it, Jim. There's some play-by-play commentary. There's some studio hosting, some sideline reporting. It just all blends together. So long story short, when I wake up in the morning here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, I either get to go talk about poker or I get to go play poker. I'm very, very fortunate to have this kind of career. And I'm so happy with the way things have developed over the last few years. I have a lot of different gigs, which is awesome. It keeps me busy. It keeps me really engaged in such an amazing game and an incredible community.
That's awesome. Well, I've got some questions lined up for you, and I'll remind our panelists, if you have any questions for Jeff, feel free to just unmute and I'll call on you. And to everyone watching live on YouTube, if you have any questions for Jeff, type them into the YouTube chat. but I also have two tasks for our YouTube audience. We're going to be playing Stake, Study, or Stack with Jeff later on in the show. So I need our YouTube chatters to start entering some the names of some poker players so that we can start playing that game with Jeff later. And also, just like every week, we're going to give away a prize at the end of the show as part of our food bank raffle to support the fight against food insecurity. So stick around till after the interview. And Jeff has very generously offered to provide some great prizes to give away today just by typing the words food bank into the chat. It's a great way to raise awareness and win a prize for free. All right, Jeff, this is so cool. I think we're all, you know, poker fans know who Jeff Platt is. You've made a real mark on the poker industry. What do people not know about Jeff Platt?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words and for saying that. That is, very, very much appreciated. What do people not know about me? Probably, Jim, that I'm a pretty boring guy. You know, I don't
like
that.
Oh, no, that's clear. We all know that.
Yeah, okay. You guys were.
Please continue.
You know, my life has most certainly revolved around poker in the past and revolved most certainly around the poker industry. And on the side, I have a few hobbies, as cliche as it is. I love watching basketball. I especially love watching the Mavericks. And then, you know, over the last 6 months, year or so, I've started to date an amazing woman. So, you know, I spend a lot of time with her and our dogs. And other than spending time with them, I'm locked in on the poker world. So that's pretty much it. It's a pretty basic lifestyle overall.
I love it. I'm so envious of this position that you have, because you said right off the bat, like we're in pretty elite company that we get to just show up for our job and talk about poker. Yeah. I mean, that's the dream. What do you credit with sort of creating this role for yourself? What got you here, and what were the pivotal decisions and steps that you took to line this up?
Well, I'd really like to point to timing first and foremost. I mean, we all need a little bit of luck, right, to be in the position that we're in. And I had kept in touch with Dan Gotti, who's an executive producer, now senior vice president at PokerGo, over the years throughout the 2010s. And I think the timing just really worked out perfectly. I was working as a sports reporter in San Antonio, and in the spring of 2018, my contract was running out there, and I was kind of faced with this decision point, whether to consider there or whether to consider resigning or whether to try something new. And that was really the time, as you all probably know, that PokerGo was starting to take off, but I could still kind of sneak in when PokerGo was on the runway. So as I kept in touch with Dan and with Moya Scandani, a PokerGo president, Poker Hall of Famer, I was able to come out to Vegas to audition for them. I was able to get the slightest of promises that they would try hard to slot me in wherever I could possibly fit that summer at the World Series of Poker. I got in touch with Sarah Herring, who I know you all have talked to before. And
yeah, she's great.
I think, yeah, safe to say we all love Sarah Herring. And I was a presenter at Poker News for her. I co-hosted the podcast with her. And everything just kind of took off from there. Just the door was slightly open for me. And I tried to come in and kick that door down right off the bat.
And what kind of skills would you say you bring to this position that have allowed you to succeed as well as you have?
Well, I think it helps, and you all could acknowledge this, having a background in playing poker and studying poker and applying that to hosting and play-by-play commentary. It's rare to get somebody with a kind of broadcast background that is combined with a poker background. And I had played over the years, and I really tried to devote myself to the game. I thought that becoming a better player would help me become a better broadcaster, while becoming a better broadcaster would help me become a better player. It's my own flywheel of sorts. So if I could set up my analyst in better spots, and if I could come across as more natural, conversational to our audience, I thought at the time in 2018, when I started in this industry, that would give me a nice leg up. And I think that really did help me gain a comfort level within poker broadcasting. And then on the other side of things, when I'm interviewing poker players, it of course helps to have that background knowledge and to have some kind of feel for what they are going through. And I think that helped perhaps make me stand out a little bit.
And the work that you've done in the industry, how has that affected your relationship with poker, the game, as a player?
It's a great question. It's made me so much more invested in it. Like I can't wait. I'm so excited to just study the game every day. And if I get to play, that's great. And if I get to broadcast, that's awesome. You know, I go into broadcasting so many of our shows, especially our PGT High Rollers, thinking this is really not considered work for me. I mean, all I'm doing is talking about the best players in the world playing poker. And you're telling me that my job is to get to sit there and watch them for hours and hours on end. I got to say, that's pretty cool. And I am just all in. The cliche, live, eat, sleep, breathe poker. You know, I'm all about it. I'm always thinking about the next tournament, whether we're broadcasting it or whether I'm able to play in it. I'm most certainly locked in. After this podcast, I'm going to jump into a World Series of Poker Circuit online event, because like I'm just so fired up always to either play or to talk about poker.
That's awesome. Chris Jones, you've got something?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, just speaking of all the broadcast pieces, you know, the World Series main event coverage is sort of second to none, in my opinion, of like any poker coverage that's out there. It's such a special event, but it's also, I think the coverage that you and your team do around that is really, it brings a flavor to it that is beyond just showing a stream. And I think a large part of that is the work that you do. And I'm wondering if you can just talk about preparing for that event and what goes into like finding all those stories that you're able to present to give that sort of sense of flavor.
Yeah, it's a great question, Chris. It's something that we've tried to work on really hard over the last couple of years. And I'm especially speaking about my role as a sideline reporter and how we've tried to change that over the years and get out into the field more and more. And the sideline reporter job kind of starts as you're just interviewing people at a final table and you're interviewing them when they bust out. And then you interview them when they win the title. But we figured if we could get out into the field at the main event and really give people watching a feel for what is most certainly undoubtedly the greatest poker tournament in the world, then we could really have something as a broadcast. So that's just something that morphed over time. It was fairly natural. You know, day one, my first day in 2021, again, timing, luck, because Kara just couldn't make it because of COVID travel restrictions. And now I get to work with her, which is amazing. But we just tried to tweak the process and tried to perfect it. We still got a long way to go, but it turned into something where we could just go out to any different table and just talk to anybody. And we've worked on the timing of it all. And now sometimes we record interviews so we aren't standing around the whole time and waiting for a player to be out of the hand. There are so many minute details that go into this. As far as preparation goes, I got to tell you, the poker community as a whole has been vital in that, because as you all, of course, know, when you have 10,000 players in a World Series of Poker main event, it's going to be hard for me to look up 10,000 different stories, right? That's probably not the most effective use of my time. But to have everybody on Twitter and Instagram chiming in, hey, here's who you should talk to and why. I get a lot of help from my producers, and that team is led by Dan Gotti and Zach Ralston. I just get so much help from everybody. And then you just kind of, you get lucky. You just walk past a guy doing a cartwheel, you know, by his table. And that's just a natural lead into an interview there. So it's a combination of luck and I would say extreme preparation that goes into it from really everybody that I think really helps us out throughout this broadcast. And then finally, it's the merging of what I do with what Kara does, because I think, in my personal opinion, and I'm not just saying this, Kara is the absolute best to have ever done this poker sideline reporter role. So I don't want to try to emulate what she does, because that just would come across very poorly. I've got to kind of do my own thing on the side while she does her thing. And that's going to work so much better for our main event broadcast.
Nice. Rob Washam, you had a question, I think.
I have a question, Jeff. I was watching a lot of the coverage of the World Series main event last year, and there was this thing going around that you were kind of a cooler for people. And when you interviewed somebody, they would bust out shortly afterwards. What is your take on that? What is going on there?
You know, Rob, I knew this question was coming at some point, and you of course, are the one to ask. What is my take? I'll give you my take, okay? Let's say 10,016 players in the World Series of Poker main event. How many players are going to win the tournament? That, as we all know, would be one. So everybody is going to bust out of the tournament, and I'm going to talk to a lot of people. So, of course, they're going to bust out of the tournament after I'm talking to them. That is my take. Now, this year, did the timing work out very bizarrely in some form or fashion many times? The answer to that undoubtedly would be yes. I think it started with Shandeeb. It really took off with Negreanu. Negreanu wasn't even playing the main. I don't even know why I wasted my time talking with the guy. He's in like the 3K PLO 6 max. And I talked to him. He's like, oh, you're a curse, right? And I'm like, nah, not really. Or if I am, it's only in the main. And then he busts 3 minutes later and, you know, he curses me out on his vlog and it kind of explodes from there. So hopefully everybody is kind of done with this storyline come the 2024 main event. I'm a little worried about it, to be honest with y'all, because the champ, Daniel Wyman, avoided talking to me the whole time throughout the course of the 2023 tournament. But again, not a curse. It's not a thing. Everybody busts out of the tournament except for one player. Thank you for your question.
great answer. Great answer, Joe. Sasha, you had a question, I think.
Thank you. Hi, Jeff. It's so nice to see you. Hi. And everyone teases in the poker community, teases Jeff about being the nicest guy in poker, but I'm here to say, as one person offering testimony, it's absolutely true. And Jeff, before you leave us today, please inform, please let our audience know, because about kind of when the Poker Ghost Studios is more open to folks coming and standing in the lobby and watching and drinking and having fun. So I want you to speak to that. My question, I'll just try to make this not amorphous. Women in the game, I feel like this is a very special moment for women in poker. For myself, as one of the still, unfortunately, very few women in live cash, my mindset training, my adaptation, all the adjustments I make, all the ways I think about my challenges, both in gender and outside of gender, but you are seeing women of all ages in the obviously all the beautiful programming that happens at Poker Go at very high level in terms of cash play and also high stakes tournaments, World Series. I'm not asking you to name any names. What's your sense in the 5 years that you've been kind of on the ground seeing women in these very high, seeing women competing and dealing with those pressures? Are you seeing a different kind of female competitor emerging? Are you seeing women adapting differently? Do you have some opinions after these 5 years?
It's a great question, Sasha, and I think a really important one also. And let me start with this, which is kind of a side note, but I think is relevant to this conversation. I'm close with Brent Hanks, who is my co-host on No Gamble, No Future. And not only is Brent doing the lineups for that show, but also for High Stakes Poker and helping to put those together. And it is one of the top priorities to get women in the game, to help this movement just however we can. And it of course doesn't always work out with certain lineups and certain days and people cancel, et cetera, but I know just based off working with him that is, again, it's so important to him. And I think important to the game as a whole. Now, to your question, I always point towards somebody like a Kristen Foxen, who has entered the PGT high roller scene. And when I talk about her on a broadcast, I always say that she's one of the best players in the world. I don't need to qualify it with she's one of the best female players in the world. She's just one of the best players in the world, period. That's easy for me to say. And I think you can point at Kristen, at somebody like Victoria Lifshitz, at Maria Ho, of course. And I could go on and on about how they're climbing the ranks in both the cash games and the tournament scene. They're inspiring so many different men and women. And I can just always point to that group and be like, this is the path right here. This is the way we can grow. Like Kristen's going to show up at these final tables at the US Poker Open, at the Poker Masters, at the Poker Cup, at the World Series of Poker. And eventually, I'm not saying we're there now, but eventually people aren't going to look at somebody and just be like, oh, that's Alex Foxen's wife, right? And Alex would be the first to tell you this. Alex would say, Kristen does so much for me. Like that is a true poker partnership right there. It's so easy for somebody to come in off the street or in the YouTube chat and be like, oh, Kristen's only good because Alex has said blah, 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 blah. Alex would be the first to tell you that she's improved his game just so much more than he has improved her. So we've got, of course, a lot of work to do. I would love to see more and more women in the high roller scene. I think we are getting there slowly but surely. But if people follow the work ethic that Kristen Foxen or Victoria Lifshitz has, then we're going to get there slowly but surely.
Joe Coolis, you had a question, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, I know you're sitting in front of us telling us how great a job you is, and it's you wake up every morning and the sun shines and you get just to talk to all these wonderful people. So I'm a psychologist and I get to talk to all these wonderful people all the time. Not all of them are so wonderful, to be honest. And some of it can really be a drag to kind of speak to them. So I guess my question is which is harder, keeping your face, a poker face, when you're playing poker, or keeping a poker face when you're talking to a tool that you've talked to three times and you really don't like them?
It is most certainly, unquestionably, the latter, as you might imagine. I'm not just saying this, there really are not that many people that are unpleasant to talk to. Are there a couple in my mind? Yeah, perhaps. Have I had to talk to them? Yeah, perhaps. You know, it's tough, right? Because a lot of the interviews that I do are those world famous bust out interviews. And then nobody's really like in a great mood to talk after they finish in seventh place with their hopes and their dreams focused on that top prize, on that title. So it most certainly creates a few awkward scenarios. And then some people are perhaps coming across as being a jerk to me, but they're just uncomfortable on camera and under the lights and in front of the microphone. So I understand that there are certain scenarios that lend themselves to poor interviews, but keeping a poker face, especially when a Phil Hellmuth goes on one of his magnificent 1 or 2 minute rants, yeah, I would say to not burst out laughing during that, that's a pretty tough part of the job.
So as a little follow-up, so when you have interviewed, you know, the tool of the day or the one of those couple of people that really kind of grinds your crank, what is the cathartic action that the nicest guy in poker broadcasting does? Is it beating small chickens, you know, throwing clowns across? And what do you do in order to kind of get that energy out?
I mean, maybe I should try some of that stuff. You know, I'm not worried if the player that I'm interviewing is quote unquote bad in an interview, that never really bothers me. But on the flip side, I'm extremely hard on myself. So if I ask a bad question or if I stumble during a question or a report, I'm going to look at that for a while. It's going to bother me for a lot longer than it should. It probably, unfortunately, affects my next couple interviews. And I've just tried so hard over the last couple of years to just focus on the next opportunity that's available to me. You know, it's like the next time that I have for an open jump shot, I still got to take that jump shot, even though I was bad during the last interview. I just can't let the last interview affect the next interview, or I'm just going to be a disaster. So that's a lot easier said than done, but that's something that I just always try to personally focus on.
It's a lot like playing poker itself, right? You have to release the last hand that you've played and just start the next hand with a clean slate. Joe, did you have a follow-up there?
Yeah, I recommend kicking squirrels in your backyard. That's
okay, thank you. I'll take that.
The most cathartic thing you can do, yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's a good, I'll write that one down.
It's also great cardio to catch the squirrels before you kick them. So it's like mind and body together. It's fantastic exercise there. Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, Jeff, and just a reminder to our audience, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can put questions in the chat. But we do have a question from Eric in the chat.
New premium member, Eric Epson.
Oh, new premium member, Eric Epson.
Thank you, Eric. Fantastic.
Eric's wondering, Jeff, when are you going to stream again so we can see Buddy, his dog, your dog Buddy?
I was going to say, I recognize that name from the Twitch streams. You know, I really got into Twitch in 2020, as I'm sure a lot of us did, covering the World Series of Poker online events. And I thoroughly loved that 2 years where I was all over it on Twitch. It's fallen out of favor a little bit for me. I think a couple different things. Number one, as far as covering the World Series of Poker online events go, we've all got a lot more going on in the poker world right now. We're not in the COVID times. So I don't think everybody in the poker community is necessarily locked in on World Series of Poker online bracelet events coverage. Two, when I'm playing, I think because I've taken the game so much more seriously in the last couple of years, I'm thinking about so many different things while I'm playing a tournament. And it's just really hard for me to express what's going on in my mind to the audience while playing a tournament that I consider to be important. Now, I keep thinking about it, like, because I really want to talk to the people and I really, really enjoy that. So I keep thinking about if we're making a deep run, maybe we fire up a Twitch stream. So I might surprise some people who still have that follow notification clicked on my Twitch channel. But for now, no current plans to get back into it. But when I do, I will drag Buddy over here and we'll throw him on the stream for you guys.
Quick follow-up. You just mentioned taking the game more seriously. This year you had a pretty amazing win, fantastic win at the MSPT Venetian tournament. What does that look like to you? What does taking the game more seriously look like? How do you approach getting better at the game? What kind of things are you studying, et cetera?
It's a good question because I think you have so many different paths to follow nowadays, right? If you want to become a successful poker player, or even if you just love the game. The path for me is trying to focus on always getting some studying time in. And my goal is it's just an hour a day, so I keep it pretty simple. I think that's a pretty reasonable goal. The studying, for the most part, consists of looking at hands that I've noted during tournaments that I've played recently and running those hands through one of the training sites, not to get the specifics of what I need to do with King 7 suited on the river or the King 6-6-3 deuce, but to try to apply some sort of concepts, of theory to my overall game. And that's just the best path for me personally to learn. I know that everybody is different. So I'll do a little bit of that. I'll look at some pre-flop charts. I'll watch some training videos I especially love. I was going to not avoid names, but I have to mention names because Patrick Leonard is like one of the best. I think he's helped my game tremendously and just trying to be so different, so unique, so creative, not always following what the quote unquote book or solver says. So I think a combination of that has worked out for me. And then on the side, my job is to discuss the best players in the world playing the game. So I just get to sit there and watch them play every single hand. And that most certainly could not hurt.
Now I've reached out to Pads on Twitter to get him on the show. He has not replied. So big time, Jeff Platt, reach out to that guy and tell him we want to have him here on the Rec Poker podcast.
I will most certainly. He'll do it. He'll do it for sure. Thank you.
Oh, he will. He's a great guy. We just haven't made the connection. Keith Brandt, I think you had a question.
Yeah, Jeff, what kind of training and education did you get to prepare yourself for a career in broadcasting? Or was it a lot of self-training or did you take school for it? How did you do that? What led you to become a broadcaster?
Yeah, Keith, I did go to USC to study broadcast journalism. And out of USC, I went to good old Jackson, Mississippi to work at their CBS affiliate as a sports anchor reporter. I've worked at a sports radio station in Dallas and a TV station in San Antonio while covering sports. So that kind of local news/sports experience has helped me tremendously in the poker world. It's almost like you can get your mistakes out of the way in Mississippi, and then you can just become a better broadcaster, a better interviewer by covering professional sports teams. And I think that's prepared me well for the interviews with the Daniel Negreanu's of the world in the poker industry. So I did have some training, and I've tried to work really hard on my own quote unquote game, just watching back everything that I do and seeing how I personally can get better.
Jeff, you mentioned that you get to watch and engage with some of the best players in the world, specifically for the main event and for other bracelet events. You also get to watch a lot of recreational players taking a shot in sort of like, you know, medium, intermediate level players playing in some of these events for the prestige of the chase, right? What are some common mistakes that you see people making when they're kind of playing a little out of their depth, that maybe if they could just solve a couple of these leaks, they'd perform better in these high profile events?
It's a great question. I think it's so important, whether you're main event is the World Series of Poker main event, or your main event is the $400 Colossus. I see so many recreational players get so caught up in the tournament. Let me give you a basketball analogy real quick, then we'll apply it to poker. Rick Carlisle, current coach of the Pacers, former coach of the Mavs, would always say during the playoffs that when you win a playoff game, you feel like you are on top of the world and you're never going to lose a game for the rest of the NBA playoffs. You're going to coast to a title. When you lose a playoff game, you feel at the very bottom. You are depressed. You are disappointed. You're saying, no way we could possibly win a basketball game again. So the overall point is you're going to be on a roller coaster ride, but you just can't let that affect you emotionally. Like, the highs cannot be too high, the lows cannot be too low. And I see so many recreational players sit down at the World Series of Poker main event, have a great start, lose one, just one big pot, be down to, I don't know, 60 big blinds, 70 big blinds, which is outrageous to have in a poker tournament, and just completely punt it off. The amount of punts that you will see throughout every single main event is pretty prevalent because people let the emotional side of the game get to them. And I understand it's a lot easier said than done to just block out of the emotions. I mean, imagine coming into a day five or day six of the World Series of Poker main event, and you're on a high and you got all your friends and family watching and you think you're going to win the main, and then you lose a big pot right off the bat to start the day. I mean, it's something that I'm sure we all struggle with when playing a poker tournament. So the ability to ride the roller coaster is, I think, the most important. And then just from a game specific standpoint, I would say that people try to be a little bit too speculative pre-flop. I think that you could study enough and not take too much time studying where you could have a pretty decent overall pre-flop game and be a lot less perhaps active than a lot of amateurs and recreational players are that I see.
That's a good one. Taking off from that, what's the worst tilt you've ever seen personally?
Oh, I've seen the worst of the worst. I mean, I've seen people punt it off with the five deuce on a five or six bet jam. In the main, there are some absolutely legendary punts as well. I mean, you just see the emotion hit somebody, and then you know that they're about to just give it away. My guy from Kraken Aces, Barstool Nate, legendary punter. You know, he loses one pot and then all of a sudden he's getting it in with the 4-3 suited on a stone cold bluff on the turn where he's absolutely drawing dead. I mean, there are countless examples. Not one stands out to me because, again, they are just so incredibly prevalent. It's like you could point to four in every single tournament that you see.
It was more a constant than anything else. Sasha, you had another question?
Jeff, I'm sure you have watched some portion or all of the library of Poker After Dark, high stakes poker, you know, the last 15 years, what I call the golden age of poker streaming, et cetera, from going back 15 years maybe to this moment and Poker Go evolving all of this very lovely tradition. Have you seen at the high stakes level in terms of live cash? Have you seen from the old shows to now, not so much in terms of a broadcast aesthetic, but style of play? Have you seen changes? Is there, if you're watching a Poker Go game today and you're intimate to that moment, do you find yourself comparing to the old days, something that would have not have happened then or did happen then that doesn't happen now? Is any of that comparison going on for you?
Yeah, good question. I'd say the biggest change that I see, and I would think that you all would agree, is that most people now are somewhat quote unquote good. Like however you want to qualify that. Like back in the day, I think that it's safe to say that nobody had a real idea what they were doing. I mean, perhaps they had a good feel for the game, a good read on their opponents. But I think you saw so many different styles of play 15 to 20 years ago. And now, especially among the professionals, it's very hard to find noticeable differences among them. You do get the reckless amateur recreational player here and there in the streams, and they bring a very unique and different play style. I think a great example of that is Eric Person, because he is so different, so unique, that it's kind of easy to see how he caught fire. But so many new recreational players to the cash game streams, the Poker After Dark, No Gamble, No Future, High Stakes Pokers of the world. So many of them are more likely to be pretty tight passive versus somebody who's a complete animal and completely fearless like an Eric Person. So I think you have less styles of play than you had 15 or 20 years ago, which makes the job a little bit harder for our production crews.
Great, great answer. Chris, did you have something there?
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up. There's another question from YouTube. Jim Gibson was wondering, Jeff, if you know about the broadcast plans, or are there any broadcast plans for the WSOP in the Bahamas? And will you be doing any of those broadcasts?
That is a great question. Thank you for asking. You know, I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen on the World Series of Poker's Twitter account, they're like, Lexi Gavin is going to the Bahamas. And they put a picture of Lexi, and Jonathan Little is going. And I'm waiting for them to put my picture up there because I've not seen that yet. They promised me that a tweet is coming. So yes, I personally am going to the Bahamas. I'll be doing some social media hosting throughout the first few days and then sideline reporting throughout the course of our main event coverage. I don't know the specifics of the coverage, but we will have a lot of streams to offer on Poker Go that I think will also be showcased on YouTube throughout the entire series. And I think that coverage will include final tables of the high rollers that are planned for World Series of Poker Bahamas, and then pretty full coverage, I gather, of the World Series of Poker main event in the Bahamas, that the Paradise main event. I guess I should get used to saying that. So I'll be the sideline reporter there. I know that Poker Go is running the production. I know our producers, Dan Gotti and Zach Ralston, are running the show down there. So I think we're really excited about this first ever WSOP Paradise. And I think that you all will get to see a lot of the action. You know, anytime we can cover a tournament from almost start to finish, those are the opportunities that I enjoy the most. So yeah, there are some pretty big plans for World Series of Poker Bahamas, and I'm looking forward to heading out there in about a month. And I'm really looking forward to getting that tweet from WSOP.
I've got a follow-up from Sasha's question. You talked about how having fewer different kinds of personalities or styles makes it more difficult for the broadcast crew. Can you sort of just expand on that a little bit? What is it about that makes it tougher for the crew?
Yeah, I think that 15 or 20 years ago, it was easy to create different stories for just about every single player, right? You had so many unique backgrounds and also, like I mentioned, unique playing styles. Nowadays, it's a little more difficult, especially within the high roller scene, because every pro is effectively doing the same thing, right? They're playing the top buy-ins in the world. And when they're not playing, they're studying. So it's like you could take a camera crew over to their house and watch them doing solver work. Not going to be the most exciting story in the world. So I think you have to find other ways to present entertainment value within the course of your tournaments, or else every broadcast is going to start to look the same. It's like, oh, well, this great player won this 10K. Oh, this great player won this 25K. You occasionally do get the incredible, amazing streaks from the Justin Bonomos, the Fedor Holtzes, the Michael Adamas of the world, which are really cool to keep track of. But I think it just becomes difficult to cover these guys when everybody, and this is a compliment to them. It really is. It's just so damn good at the game. So you have to find your entertainment value somehow, some way. And I think that's constantly a work in progress.
Now, while you're down there, I want you to look out for Jim Gibson. We call him Gibber. Because he won a main event package.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, and he is really excited, needless to say. So you're going to see a very, very friendly, affable guy. We call him the real Jim. He's going to be in a blue Rec Poker shirt like mine with a very handsome white mustache. And we're going to look for some Gibber updates from you on the trip there, Jeff.
You know, I'm putting it in right now. He's going to be the first name on my main event interest
list. Yes, there you go, Jim Gibson.
He's in there. He's on the list. He's in the notes.
Look it up. Such a great guy, and a Rec Poker member going back quite a ways. So congratulations on that win again, Jim. I'm looking forward to hearing all about your success down there. Present company accepted. Who's one of your heroes?
Ooh, great question. You know, I really all of you guys, of course.
Naturally. But just to be political about it, so you don't have to list anyone here by name. Who's one of your heroes?
I mean, I would say in the poker world, I have always admired Jason Kuhn. It's going to be pretty hard to disagree with that. I think his background, you know, here's a guy who grew up with no money and just devoted himself to the game and also devoted himself to his health and fitness regimen. I mean, here is a guy who's just, I'll say, the guy's just an absolute stud. I mean, he's one of the best in the world. And I mean, his physical fitness is just effectively on display at all times. The guy is an animal. And it's just so important to him to gather the right mindset before he plays poker. And a big part of that to him is exercise and working out. So I've also always admired the way he conducts himself at the table. You know, here's a guy who, like we were talking about earlier, never gets too high and never gets too low at the poker table. So I love the way he handles himself. Great family guy as well. And that's somebody that that I really, really look up to in the poker world.
Yeah, great answer. Stoicism, another undercurrent of stoicism with our guests here on the show. Sasha, you had a question here?
Yeah, just very quickly, Jeff, I'm glad you called out Jason. I watched him on a Triton stream a while back, and just like this, the graciousness amongst some of the high stakes players, just at the highest levels of the game, is always so moving to me. And I feel like he never disappoints in that way. And I think it's just a really beautiful characteristic of some of the Eric Seidel as well. Just that quiet graciousness that they bring to the game. It's just lovely. And,
a lot of them are really great people within the high roller scene. Not everybody's as personable or as affable as a Jason Kuhn, of course, but there are just some really nice people that we are really fortunate to have in this high roller world, and it makes for a much better community, and hopefully it trickles down to everybody else in the poker world.
Yeah, it is a great community that we're part of. There's a few bad apples out there, like in the industry, but I'm always struck by the generosity and kindness of the people in the poker world. It's really impressed me over time. All right, we're going to get to the end of the show here. I'm going to give the folks in the YouTube chat one more chance to type any questions for Jeff, and then we're going to play Stake Study Stack, and then we're going to close the action with our speed round. The last question before we got to that one, Jeff, what's one thing that you hate about your job?
Aha, that's a good one. Let me think about that. You know, I got to sit by.
There's got to be something.
I got to sit by Brent Hanks for 6 to 10 hours a day. I mean, that can wear on you a little bit. That's the leading candidate, Jim, in my mind. And also our newest sideline reporter, Natalie Bodie. She's taken it upon herself to steal the stand up for me, please bit that you referenced at the beginning.
Oh my God.
She calls it borrowing. I most certainly refer to it as stealing. So there's
suspicious.
A little bit of an issue there with Natalie, who, by the way, is an absolute superstar. Maybe I'm just worried about her taking all of my jobs in the future. But yeah, there's something going on there. So Natalie and Hanks, the two biggest drawbacks of the job.
Okay. I appreciate that candor. Not a lot of folks like really let us in like that, but I appreciate that. All right. Well, we're going to play Stake Study Stack, and then we're going to enter our speed round and close the action with you, Jeff. So the Stake Study Stack, you may remember from your childhood, a game where you would have to pick someone to marry, someone to do something obscene with, and then someone to do something very nasty to. I'm not going to say exactly what those things are, because this is a PG rated show over here. But in this case, I'm going to give you three names. You have to pick one that you would stake, one that you would study with, and one that you would like to stack at the tables. Okay.
Great. Let's do it.
The three names are Donnie Peters, Norman Chad, and Nick Schulman.
I've gotten in trouble talking about Norman on a couple past podcasts. You know, he and I have gone.
You and me
it.
Both.
So this is going to be a pretty easy one for me. I gotta study with my guy Donnie Peters because I know the guy studies, and like he's just he's all over the game. I think we share a real passion for poker, and especially now for poker tournaments. And also, we're in the mix, kind of in the same streets. Like, we're playing the 400s, 600s, 1Ks of the world. So we're running into that same player pool here in Las Vegas. So I'm most certainly studying with Donnie. And so that means if I have this right, Jen, that means I either get to stake Nick Schulman, one of the best players in the world, or I get to stake Norman Chad. I'm going to probably lean towards staking Nick Schulman and stacking Norman Chad. Now, here's the problem with stacking Norman Chad. It's going to be hard for him to get his chips in. I don't think the guy plays many hands. I'm going to have to get in the mixed game streets with him where I hate saying this, he's going to have a huge edge over me, but to be able to bust Norman in a horse tournament or something, that would be great. In all seriousness. Norman actually was, I would say, one of the most welcoming figures to me when I entered the poker world 5 years ago, back in 2018. And that really meant something to me then, because to have like the main guy on the World Series of Poker main event coverage be so unbelievably welcoming, that's pretty cool. I always have to thank him for that. But I also do want to stack him.
Yeah, Norman, he picked me for one of his sleepers to go deep in WSOP a couple years ago. And
that was the true jinx.
That was the true jinx.
The curse. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. He and I have been feuding ever since. And Norman, I hope you're listening, because I'm with Jeff on this. Nothing would make us happier than to come steal your chips. And I'll take any game. Let's do it. All right. That was Stake, Study, Stack. All right. Jeff, you've been a fantastic sport. We are going to close the action tonight with a speed round. Okay, now I want to emphasize this. So I want you to say the first honest answer that comes to your mind. And if it takes you more than a couple seconds, just say pass.
Yeah.
Okay, speed. All right, we're going to start off real simple. Drum roll, please. All right, let's start it off. What is your favorite poker hand?
Favorite poker hand is aces, because like, why not? Everyone's like, well, I like the 9-5 suited. I like this, I like that. And just give me the best hand possible. So it's aces, that's easy.
Good answer. Poker, gamble, or skill game?
Skill, unquestionably. Elements of gambling, of course, but this is a skill-based game. We aren't playing against the casino. We're playing against other people.
What's your biggest poker pet peeve?
Ooh, I got a lot of them. The one that stands out to me right now as I'm thinking about it is somebody who is in a great move when they have a lot of chips and in a terrible move when they have a little chips. You can run into somebody like, this is the greatest guy ever. And then all of a sudden he has no chips. He's like yelling at the dealer and something like, oh, okay, this guy's the worst. So just be the same way, you know, regardless of how many chips you may have.
Another Stoic reference, just pointing that out to folks. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Is Ace King a drawing hand?
No. We got to stop with that. Ace King is a fantastic hand. I would love to get dealt Ace King. It's what I dream of in so many different tournaments. So drawing hand, no. I'll take all your Ace Kings.
What is your favorite poker venue?
This one, it's the World Series of Poker when we get there, because it's just electric to walk into either the Horseshoe or Paris World Series of Poker venues. I gotta keep going with that.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
A hot dog is a sandwich, actually. Yes, thank you for asking.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of rats. And you said first thing that pops into my mind.
That's what I want.
Rats absolutely terrify me. Yeah.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite childhood, like, family holiday meal?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me go to just the July 4th apple pie, baby. Just love give it. Me some my mom's apple pie, and we're just going to be good to go.
Yellow light coming up. Slow down or speed up?
You know, yellow doesn't mean slow down. It means caution. So I'm slowing down if it's right. But, you know, you got to look at the car behind you also, seeing if it's right to stop. Maybe it's safer to just speed up a little bit and go through. You know, it's a tough one to answer. But most of the time for me, it's slowing down.
What's your favorite mixed game?
Favorite mixed game would have to be 7-card stud, because that's one of the games that I know the rules to.
Good answer. Should vacations be lazy or busy?
I think the perfect vacation is a merge. If I had to pick one, I'd pick lazy. Just give me the beach for a week and I'll be totally fine with that.
Who is your poker nemesis?
Poker nemesis, I would say, is James Romero. I mean, the guy just crushes me at every single tournament we play, and I can't get around it. He won a huge hand when he won Five Diamond years ago, won a huge hand against my guy Ben Ludlow when my guy Ben had aces and Romero had like the queen five suited or something, and just gets there in a massive pot. And then ever since, like, I can't beat him now. So it's definitely James Romero.
Are you pro chop or no chop?
No chop. I am so anti-chop. Like, let's play it out because I want to go for the win. And like, when do we have the chance to play three or four handed for a tournament title? Like, let's go. Let's play ball. Come on.
That's the key. I love that too. Yeah. What player type are you?
A crazy bird, I would say. You know, we mentioned Patrick Leonard earlier. I took the Fedor Sites quiz, like, which player do you play like? And my answer was Tom Dwan. So I like to play big pots. I like to put a lot of chips in the middle and let's do it.
All right. Well, we were going to ask about your curse, but Rob already got that one in there. So the last question, and this could be, and take your time for this one. This could be related to poker or it could have nothing to do with poker. But when you look back on your life, what's one thing you wish you'd done different?
Ooh, what is one thing I wish I'd done differently in my life? You know what? It's so funny because this is actually a question that I do think about a decent amount. And my answer is perhaps corny and cliche as it's going to be. It is nothing, because what if I did something differently in 2015, 2016, which was maybe the best career choice for me at the time? It wouldn't have led me here. And like, I'm absolutely thrilled with the place that I'm at in not just poker, but life overall. So anything along that path that could have altered it, I just don't want to have done it differently. Like, I'll take the lessons learned and we'll move on to where we are today, which is somewhere I'm very happy with.
All right. Well, you got 369 points. That's pretty good. Not bad, Jeff. All right, Jeff Platt. That's a pretty good score. All right. Well, folks, you can start typing the words food bank into the chat right now. We're going to do our raffle after Jeff goes. Jeff, we got in touch with you and asked if you could give out some prizes tonight. You offered some No Gamble, No Future tote bags, some Poker Go card protectors, some No Gamble, No Future golf hats, some water bottles. Thank you so much for putting all this stuff together. What's your favorite promotional merch that you guys get to work
first
with?
First of all, you're welcome. And I knew that right away when you asked, I could reach out to my guy, Patrick Knight at Poker Go, who's running the show for us there, and just get you guys hooked up with some No Gamble, No Future swag. I love the coin. I love the water bottle. I mean, anything, the hats are great. Anything that has that No Gamble, No Future logo on it. I'm wearing this No Gamble, No Future jacket right now. I mean, I just love it all. You know, give me all of the No Gamble, No Future stuff. Season 4, by the way, November 29th on Poker Go.
And I did have one last follow-up question for that. So this is great that folks get to come by and visit the lobby. Tell us a little bit about sort of like, when's the best time to go visit the studio and get involved in the production dungeon?
Oh, yeah. And I know Sasha had mentioned that earlier, so I'm glad you got it back to me again before I forgot. I would say that the best time to visit the Poker Go studio is when they're shooting one of the PGT High Roller series, whether it's the US Poker Open, Poker Masters, Poker Go Cup, whatever. That's the best time to come. Sometimes our sets are closed, most likely for a high stakes poker or a No Gamble, No Future. A lot of times you can just come by if you see that we're open and somebody would be happy to give you a tour, myself included. You're more than welcome to DM me and ask, like, hey, is it okay if I come by tomorrow during this event? And I'll try to get you the best answer. I'll try to show you around the studio. So I think best bet, if you're just walking around and you want to come in on a day that the entire room is open, so you can see the outer tables in action and you can see the broadcast at our featured table, most likely a final table going on as well.
That's great. And where should folks reach out to you? What's your preferred way for people to contact you if they just need more Jeff Platt?
You can just DM me on Twitter at Jeff Platt. I don't check my Instagram DMs as much, but you can find me there at Jeff Platt 1. So yeah, come chat with me there.
All right. Well, we'll include that handle in the show notes. So folks, if you're listening along, and you can just go over and click on that link and you can be in touch with the one and only Jeff Platt. Jeff, thank you so much for taking this time today and for sharing your story with us. I hope we get to talk again sometime real soon. And maybe you'll get Jim Gibson or one of our Wrecking Crew members to come stand up for you next time we get a chance to get
I'm definitely getting Gibber. There's no question about it. He's just got to last like the first couple levels before our coverage actually starts. But thanks to you guys, this was a blast. And like I said earlier, you know, what you guys do for the poker community is extremely important. So I'm happy to have been on here with y'all today.
Thank you, my man. We'll have a great rest of your evening. And thanks again for coming on.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Well, we're going to, if folks want to continue typing the words food bank into the YouTube chat, it's free to enter, but you're going to win a real prize tonight. While we're waiting for folks to type those answers in there, we're going to hear from some home game results from John Somsky. And then I'm looking forward to talking to new Wrecking Crew member Mark Zhang about his own poker story and how you can get involved with Mark here at Rec Poker.
Well, first we had on November 1st, the No Limit Hold'em Championship Series. And K then KB. Yeah, K then now B.
K then now B. Good old KB.
won his first No Limit Hold'em event of the year. And it should be noted that GF Hawk Eric Romo has now taken the lead in the Player of the Year series.
Oh, Eric Romo, he's doing it. GF Hawk, also a premium member, I want to point out. Way to go, Eric.
And he's a tough player. He's a tough player. I see him on my table and I just go cringe a little bit because I know that, you know, he's going to somehow get there.
Yep. And he really likes playing No Limit Hold'em. I can attest to that. Yep.
Then we have Hazi 08. He got his fifth nightly victory for the year.
Nice.
Osloberger, Tron Vidar Stensby got his first nightly victory for the year. Duck and Run 99, Michael Savage got his first international victory for the year.
Way to go, Michael.
Digging 8 Graves got his first international victory for the year. And Flying Bricks got her second LPP event for the win year.
That's a good one.
So she can contact info@rec.poker for her free month at Learn Pro Poker.
That's right. Just like the prizes we give away in the podcast, if you play for free in our home game club, you can win real prizes too. And if you win the Sunday night event, you get a free month at Learn Pro Poker. So Sarah, congratulations. Send that email to info. Oh, did I dox her? I don't know if I doxed her or not. Anyway,
you did.
I did. Okay. Sorry, Sarah. I know your username, but send that email to info@rec.poker. You've won a free month to Learn Pro Poker and you are going to love it.
I assume you've never held any type of job where you had to have security clearance or had confidential materials or anything like that, because you are incapable of keeping a secret.
That is an accurate. No, actually, I'm actually really good at keeping secrets that are like told to me as a secret. I'm the place that secrets go to die. But when like people mention things that I'm excited about, I, it's people that I know, I want to like feel their excitement with them. Maybe I'm not as privately minded.
All secrets go to die in his basement is where they go. So there's piles of paper and things. So
that's the only thing that has ever officially died in my basement, Joe. All right. Everything else is just vicious rumors. Sasha, you had something there?
Yeah.
No, I just want to defend Chris, Jim, because I've really unburdened myself and just really kind of had to share some really dark stuff with Jim, and he's been really discreet about it. So I just want to defend you.
That's right. Discretion is my middle name.
I'm defending the dad, which you'll appreciate. Which you'll appreciate, Joe Coolis. So, okay, carry on.
Thank you, Sasha. Rob, did you have something there? No? Okay. So, all right, let's talk to Mark Zhang, and then we'll reveal who our winner is going to be tonight. So, Mark, I'm so excited to be welcoming you to the Wrecking Crew here. I got a chance to meet Mark down in WSOP season this summer. We had a fantastic time playing in a couple bracelet events, and Mark's decided to come and join the Wrecking Crew. He's had so much fun hanging out with our crowd. He decided to take the next step. So Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're based in Luxembourg and you're a professional poker player, and you want to work with rec poker members to help them get better at this great game that we all love. Is that right?
Yes. So I was I was raised in Luxembourg. Like, it's a teeny tiny country with like half a million people. I grew up speaking like five different languages, whatever. And I got into poker. I think now I keep saying it's always 2 years, but now it's almost 6 or 7 years. I started like I don't come from like a household with a lot of money, so I grinded everything up from like a teeny tiny bankroll. Now I'm playing like stakes that like online, where the people that you see on TV like are very well known, and I'm friends with a lot of very known German professionals. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what else you would like to know about me.
Well, just sort of talk a little bit about some of the success you've had in the game and what you think like gives you an edge as a player.
So in my personal experience, I've had some successes in poker, but I always compare myself to like people at my professional level. So they have had like half a million scores or $1 million scores. And I think my biggest was 200K, which
pretty freaking impressive, man. Come on.
I am happy about it, but yet I want that. I'm really hard on myself and I really want more. And I do everything I can to just get better. When you ask where my edge lies or how I evolved in poker is I'm very good at finding the teeny tiny detail in inaccuracy in a person's game and just pounding on it relentlessly to just to win every single chip I can. And I think that's one of the biggest leads that most people don't do, is because a lot of people that are good at tournaments, at some point they will get the chip lead. And to get the chip lead, you really have to win every single chip you can get. And I'm just that person, like whenever somebody raises my big blind, I'm going to defend it with tooth and nail, like whatever it takes to win the pass.
I love it. Take every edge, you know, take all those spots. That's yes. Beautiful. So you have to know how to find those spots too, which is a big part of it.
Yeah. So all I do is actually studying, and I'm preparing now already for the next WSOP.
Amazing. And you and I are going to be in Vegas again this December for some WPT events. Isn't that right?
Yes. I qualified online through it. I'm really excited. Let's go.
I love it. All right. Well, if folks want to find out more about Mark, they can go to rec.poker/Mr. Bullet. And you can go to his Wrecking Crew page there and find out all sorts of details about Mark's work. And if you go to rec.poker/coaching, you can find ways to work with Mark directly, along with some of our other Wrecking Crew members here. A lot of our Wrecking Crew members love to work one-on-one or in a group session with our members. And if you go to rec.poker/coaching, you can see different coaching products and opportunities with different Wrecking Crew members, including Mark. So, Mark, welcome again to the Wrecking Crew here, and I can't wait to get to know you a little better and to introduce you to more of our members as we continue to go on. All right, so we're going to do our reveal here. Chris, you have the Daiso Cam set up. I see it here on the screen. So we are going to find out who is the winner this week. Let's roll that die, Mr. Jones, and see who it is.
All right. You want to? What do we got?
Oh,
in the names.
Yeah, here? Of course. We got to do the names here, right? First. Sorry. All
so
right.
There's, so there's five of them, right? Is what I'm seeing.
Got...
So there is no such thing as a five-sided dice, right? So yeah.
you would know.
So Mark. Yes, I would.
Nerd, I would say nerd not dig. Yet.
Mark, can you
not
nerd
yet.
Dig? Yeah. All right. So yeah. So Joe, hold that.
Mark,
for one
can,
second.
You
we've
a,
got,
can you pick a number for me?
We've got Evil Roy, Eric, Gibber, Charles, and Arnold are the five names in that order that I see, if that's confirmed. Go for it, Joe. Sorry, you were saying?
So, Mark, can you pick a number for me? 1 through 6?
Any number?
Any number, any 1 through 6.
1 through 6.
I already had in my mind 5.
All right.
5? Okay.
That's
so
a solid number.
It's not,
you're going to fit
it. It's the holiday season. Yes, Chris. You're going to roll it over and over. But since it's the holiday season, you know, and I think that Thanksgiving people always think a lot more about being hungry. And as we gorge ourselves on a lot of food, food banks need food at this time, and they really try to reach out. So I'm going to give $20 per 5 that you roll this time. And we'll go to $200 will be the limit, because I am but yet a lowly psychologist. So see how much pain that you can cause me by rolling.
All right. I just got to keep rolling 5s, basically.
Keep rolling 5s.
So then we'll go Evil Roy through Charles is 1 through 4, and then Arnold is 6. A 5 is money for the food bank. Here we
All
go.
All right, let's roll some 5s, Chris. Let's roll some 5s. Let's see what we can do here.
It's a 4.
It's a 4. All right. So that means, Charles Allen, you have won a swag bag from, well, you're actually going to be able to choose from a few different options of prizes from Poker Go and No Gamble, No Future. So, Charles, send an email to info@rec.poker. And Rob Washam is going to take care of you, because Rob has been doing a fantastic job getting involved in handling some of our prizes and some of the other community-related stuff that we're doing over here. Thank you, Rob, for that. Yeah, Joe.
Since Chris was completely incompetent at doing the one
terrible at this
job that he had, which was to roll 5s.
Yeah,
anybody that's listening to this, if you send me just a receipt or even an email, I'll trust you that you donated $10, $20, whatever it is that you can donate to your food bank. I will match that to donation to my food bank up to $200. So please,
that's
you know, you can lie if you want. It's poker players, but you're good people. Send me an email. Let me know that you donated, and I'll match it.
That's so kind of you, Joe. And I do want to just reinforce to our listeners, you know, it's not food insecurity is an issue everywhere around the world. It might be people in your own neighborhood or in your own community that are having a little trouble putting food on the table, or maybe feeding their children or other loved ones that depend on them. You might be surprised at who needs a little help every once in a while. So I encourage everyone, if you just Google food banks near me on your smartphone, you'll find an organization nearby that you could help out with a few hours of your time, a few dollars from your wallet, or a few non-perishable food items from your pantry. So go do take care of that. And my hat's off to Joe Coolis, who often on the show decides to match a contribution or make a contribution of his own. Joe, how would you like people to contact you to share that they have made a donation for you to match? What address should
they? Since it's on the screen, if they can... I mean, you can either email me through rec.poker, which I believe is JoeCoolPhD at rec.poker, or they can use my DMs that are open, so you can just DM me through Twitter.
Okay.
Fantastic. And it's at JoeCoolPhD, cool with a K. Yeah. If you can put it in the show notes, Jim, that'd be helpful.
Oh, that's a great idea. I will just make a note to add that right now. Thank you again, Joe, for your generosity, and thank you to everyone who's been involved over the years of us raising awareness for food banks. Was a fantastic cause that I think we can all support. All right. Let me see. What else should we be talking about? Oh, yeah. Mark Zhang's Mark's going to be running a group coaching sort of Q&A study group every month, just like a lot of our Wrecking Crew members. The first one is going to be on November 30th. That's a Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You'll see it in our website calendar if you go to rec.poker/events. And then starting in January, that will Mark's event will be on the first Thursday of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern. And I can't wait for folks to get more involved with that. All right. The last thing I'll mention, if you're listening to this live, or even if you're listening to this the week it comes out, you've still got time to get down to the Council Bluffs, Iowa, where we're going to be having a fantastic time with the Run Good Poker Series. We're going to be there from the 14th to the 19th. We're doing study groups. We're doing tournament prep sessions. We're doing dinners and drinks. We're doing axe throwing. We're doing mini putt. We're having a meetup cash game on Thursday. I know Eric Ebsen's going to be there. He's driving in for the 08 game, I think, on Thursday. And I think everyone would have a fantastic time if they come and do have some fun with us there. And it's also, if you're listening to this live, it's not too late to get involved in the Running Aces Big Turkey Tournament That's running from November 9th to 12th. There's an $800 buy-in. And if that's out of your price range on November 24th, it's the Black Friday free roll at Running Aces. All you need is a player's card to join, and they're going to add $5,000 to the player pool. That's a great way to make a little money for nothing. And finally, the last event coming up this year at Running Aces is the Mid-States Poker Tour. There's going to be multiple events from November 30th to December 10th. And you can find out more about all those events at www.runaces.com. So go do check that out. They put on a fantastic tournament series over there, and it's always a great crowd as well. If you're listening to this live, you've still got about 20 minutes. We're going to be starting our recording of the forums edition of the podcast over Zoom. And all premium members are welcome to come join us for the forums edition and talk some strategy on the air with our podcast panel. So let me see. I guess I just have to thank the Running Aces, Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. We couldn't do what we're doing without them. If folks like what we're doing here, I'd encourage you to give our premium membership a try. It's only $15 a month, and it's a great way to help us out, even if you don't partake in all the study groups and training material that we offer. If you want to help us out, use the code RECPOKER at checkout. Get your first month for only $5. And if that's out of your price range, I completely understand. Go to rec.poker/support, and you can find all sorts of ways to help us out without spending a dime. And we really would appreciate it. This is a labor of love for all of us on the Wrecking crew. And your support means the world to us. So if you want to go to rec.poker/support and help us out, I would appreciate that. So thank you to Jeff Platt for a phenomenal interview. Thank you to Chris Jones, Keith Brandt, Sasha Sutton, Rob Washam, Joe Coolis, Mark Zhang, and John Somsky for being the backbone of what we do here at Rec Poker, the Wrecking crew. Again, of course, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. All you fantastic YouTube chatters in the chat here live, and all you listening at home. We couldn't do it without you. So thanks to all of you for your support, and we'll see you again next week on the Rec Poker Podcast. Have a great night, everybody.